Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have another game coming up on Sunday, and the story that just will not die. There are two stories that I think have a complete lack of diversity of thought going on in sports right now. One is the LeBron James, Bronny James story, where I don't know about you, it's just everyone lining up to be like, this is nepotism and nepotism is bad. There's no other side. And then the second one is obviously the Browns fans who cheered Deshaun Watson after he got injured on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to go down first?
Nepotism happens in every walk of life. I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, I think it's...
Is this the Griffies again? No, it's not the Griffies again. But how many dentists hand over their practice to their children? How many insurance agents hand over their practice? Like, it happens all the time. But you were going to be outraged over this one? Why?
Because I think everybody that I've seen, I think they're just people who don't like LeBron. I think it's LeBron fatigue.
Okay.
Which is weird because these are people who say they're into player empowerment. But not when that empowerment is the idea that LeBron handpicked his kid being on his team.
LeBron has made tens of millions of dollars for the NBA. If he wants his kid for a few days, they're going to give him his kid for a few days.
Also, the idea that, like, if you
hundreds of millions. He's made hundreds of millions for them. Go ahead.
Also, anybody would do it. Like, if you could be the first person in NBA history to play with your kid, because I don't think people realize he's only afforded that because he's played 22 years in the NBA.
That's right.
But I do think there's a lack of diversity of thought on that, which annoys me.
I just don't even pay attention to it.
It's noise.
Yeah. It's really cool. I'm happy for him. I think it's great. Yes, it's nepotism. No, LeBron, Bronny would not be in the NBA without LeBron. No, you're right. Okay. Now what?
Some people just enjoy it. I'm going Dolan's for like the fifth time in like 3 days. But I think it, or ignore it. Like, not everything has to be like, I'll be honest with you. Joel Embiid not playing in the NBA, having to launch an investigation in that night one or night two of the NBA being back.
Yeah.
That is such a bigger issue.
I agree.
And then Bron's got a lot of power in LA. You new here?
Right.
Yeah. The most the global superstar and face of the NBA, who was worth billions to the NBA, has exercised his power again. Now the Deshaun thing, I just think there is diversity of thought. There's two sides. There is either people saying, who cares that they cheered him? Look at what Browns fans have been through. Or there's, and I think right now it's really players and ex-players glomming on to this of, this is unfair, this is unjust, and, you know, there's something morally reprehensible about what happened. And I think the mistake they're making is that they're kind of painting it with a broad brush.
You made a point earlier. Make your point.
Which one?
About what the player, what you think the players are really... what they're trying to take the focus off.
I think that this is a proud bunch of veteran players who know that they're 1-6 and they're stink on crap, and who I think this changes the conversation. I can't believe they're still that pissed off about it. They didn't like Deshaun. I'm painting with a general brush there. There was a lot of tension in that locker room about Deshaun. And so some of the guys that have come out and spoke are guys that I have a pretty good hunch weren't the biggest fans of the person.
I think I know what you're alluding to, but also I talked to a bunch of players who were like, he's cool with me. Like, and this is before the injury. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not playing well, but like the off field stuff, they have to sort of put to the side. They can't worry about that. They're trying to win games on Sundays, and that may be harsh to say or coarse to say, but that's just the reality of it. They can't worry about the off field stuff.
Dare say some of them don't care.
Oh, probably the majority of them don't care. Yeah. So they just put that to the side and it's whatever. But the part that like nobody wants to like just say, like players don't care about the fans, and fans don't care about the players. And this week is just bringing that to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And why is that so difficult to see? Like, players care about the paycheck. Players, no player on this 53-man roster came to Cleveland because they want to play for the fans in Cleveland. Not one. Mm-hmm. Is that a surprise? They came because Cleveland is what was offering them the paycheck and the place to play in the NFL. That's why they're here. And they're going to stand here and they're going to say the Browns fans are the best fans in the land. Amari Cooper said it. You know what Amari Cooper is going to say in 2 weeks? Buffalo fans, some of the best fans and love playing here. They all do it. Like, it's what you do. Mm-hmm. They don't mean it. None of them mean it. It's what you just say, with some few exceptions. Like, there are some guys, obviously, who are here long enough, and I'll use Nick Chubb as an example. The fans here love Nick Chubb. They mm-hmm. love Nick Chubb. But by and large, you're rooting for the jersey. You're not rooting for the dude in the jersey, by and large. And you like him while he's here, but then when he leaves, you still like him? A lot of times you're booing him. A lot of times you're setting his jersey on fire when they leave because you care about the team. You don't care about the player inside the jersey. There are exceptions. I don't want to generalize too much, but they're few and far between. This week has just sort of brought that, bubbled that to the surface. I am not condoning the booing. I'm not. I'm mm-hmm. not condoning the cheering and the booing. But you have to be realistic and look at this and say there is a lot more to the Deshaun situation than a player laying on the field injured. There's a lot more that goes into it. We talked about it earlier in the show. A lot of people here never wanted him here in the first place. And then he's here, and he never played well. Mm-hmm. Never lived up to what was expected of him. Doesn't give you the right to boo him. I'm not saying it does. But for the players to continue to shake their fingers at the fans, if you want to stand up for your guy, stand up for your guy. Go right ahead. That's fine. But for Miles to say he's an upstanding citizen, for James to say he's put his life on the line, is silly. Like, step back, guys. Like, just take a little bit of a breath on here. If you want to stand up for your guy, by all means, do so. But who was standing up for the women? Mm-hmm. And I say that as somebody who understood the trade. Like, I said, Baker's not good enough. You got to go try and do better. But, you know, but I always had also this compassion for female fans who didn't want to root for this guy, for females who work in that building every day who didn't want to be around him. So it's a lot more complicated than a player's laying on the field hurt. I don't know why we can't acknowledge that. Why can't we acknowledge that?
Because it doesn't serve the player's narrative. That's why. That's where
nobody wins in this.
But that's when you're pointing that out of why can't we acknowledge the obvious? That's when I start to think, okay, why are you talking about it? Because I have no problem. Like, again, if Miles just came out and said, "Hey, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't like that."
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Then you say model citizen, Jameis, the world's against him. Why would that be?
Right.
And so I think, like, even Shelby Harris, and he was on the We're the Harrises podcast, which, let's just say, hilarious podcast name. It's the first time I'm hearing of it, but it's three guys who played the NFL with the last name Harris. But, like, you know, we have Miles, we have Jameis, and then we have the next onslaught. And then Kevin talked about it again, I think, yesterday.
And Greg Newsom talked about it, and it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
And so this becomes the story that won't die because the players aren't letting it die.
Yeah.
And the latest is Shelby on We're the Harrises talking about, you know, this perception. And I'm going to call it a perception because it wasn't every – there were also people that cheered for Deshaun when he actually was helped up and put on the cart. That wasn't cheering for the injury. That was cheering for the person.
Yes, yes. That was the standard typical applause that you get when the guy – that wasn't hooping and hollering when he was leaving the field on the cart. That was – the standard what you do when a guy's hurt.
But Shelby Harris weighed in on this and continued to do the thing where it's you speak to one part of this without speaking to the whole.
The thing is, be human. Be human. This man, his Achilles is ruptured. And you think he wants to hear, you think that's the, like, how is that going to help him? But also, think about how it makes the other players on the team feel when someone else, one of their brothers is out there on the, like, giving it their all, and he gets hurt doing it while giving it his all, and you hearing cheering from the fans. It's bigger than football, and I think the fans got to realize you lost a lot of the players that day.
So, on one hand, because where you cut it right there, you're 1-16. I think you lost the fans a bit ago.
Yeah.
to put it back to the brass tacks that you put it to, which is they root for the jersey, very often not for the players, okay, like so maybe some of those fans lost the players. Well, I think this team lost the fans probably 2 weeks ago. I think they lost the narrative as well.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
But I don't understand the value of speaking on this. Like, I don't know what you're winning.
You're standing up for your guy, and I get it. Like, I'm not. I just think there's a way to defend Deshaun. There's a way to be critical of what the fans did without going as far as some of these guys are taking it.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because you are painting all the fans with a broad brush.
Yes.
And you and I are agreement, whether it's 5%, 7%, 2%, it doesn't matter. Those 5% of people, not great. And, and honestly, classless, you can throw whatever terms you want at it.
Yeah.
But those 5%, you're basically lecturing 100% of the audience, people who did not cheer, people who now feel attacked by you, to address 5%. And I'll be honest with you, if we do that, and if we're always going to be addressing the vocal minority or the worst of us, then we're going to be painting everybody in a lot of really bad lights that they don't deserve to.
Carolina, New Orleans, some of the other finalists for Deshaun at the time. You were in Carolina, you would know. If Carolina trades for Deshaun and his career down there plays out exactly as it played out in Cleveland, would there be pockets of people in that stadium who reacted the same way Browns fans?
Of course.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Just saying. It's not a Cleveland thing. And Cleveland does have, you know, Cleveland booed Tim Couch when Tim Couch was down 20 years ago. It's gross. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen with Deshaun. Tim also didn't carry the allegations that Deshaun carries. So that I'm not trying to put everything on a scale here. But that one felt, it's all bad. I'm not going to say it. It's all bad. But fans root for the jerseys, not the guys in the jerseys. They root for the teams. And the players don't care about the fans. They don't care about you. They care about their paychecks. I don't know why. They want you to root for them. They do. It does bring energy. It does help them win games. But individually, they're in your city for the paycheck. That's it. Like, this is a business.
216-474-0092. Mike, Jason, Eric, you guys stick there. Shelby Harris is the latest Cleveland Browns player to weigh in on the story that won't die, the cheering of Deshaun Watson's injury on Sunday. We'll throw this out to you guys. Do you think that Shelby got any closer to speaking 100% truth without any misstep of all the Browns players that have weighed in on this? That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Also, have ADHD, which is why, one, I've stopped buying books, because the amount of books that I've read 40% of that I've paid 100% on, I'm just doing a library thing now. But it's actually because I have ADD that I'm trying to do it, because there's so many books, like, and actually Vanessa's not helped. So, like, I have a book on this Danish explorer from the 19th century that I'm like, was really into. And now it's somewhere in a pile of boxes in my garage, and I cannot find it. And it drives me crazy, because, and I've looked for it since we moved in, because I want to finish reading it, but I'm trying to break my bad habits of not reading, not finishing books.
How can you focus on three at a time, though?
It actually helps. Because then I'm just getting myself in, even if you're not wanting to read at this moment about that subject, because they're all like, one's a book on Led Zeppelin, one's a book on philosophy, and one's a book on, oh my gosh, this is great.
It's such a good book, you don't even know what it's about.
It's Theodore Roosevelt. I'm reading his the trilogy autobiographies.
Okay.
So yeah, like, they're three completely different books. So, like, if I'm looking for something more fancy-free, it's Led Zeppelin and Groupies. If I'm looking for something to nourish my soul, it's philosophy. And if I'm looking just to feel smarter than you, it's Teddy Roosevelt's autobiographies.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even watch three TV shows at a time. I'm like, one at a time.
I think I might be out on TV at large. Other than sports, I think I don't know when what shifted. But, like, my family, right, I told you in the pre-show, Vanessa started Lost. Cannot stand it.
Yeah.
Just can't. And maybe that's me. Maybe it's not Lost. And my daughters are watching Friends, because my wife got him hooked on that.
It's funny because like I love showing my kids all the movies we grew up on. Like that's what we watch.
Mm-hmm.
And my son has a list of movies. We do like movie night in the theater chairs in the basement, and we'll just have a big movie night, and we just go through the list and watch all of the old movies.
So my concern is I get really dejected because I feel this way. My, you know, having three daughters, they like sports. And if they want to cuddle with dad, they'll come over and they'll sit with me, and then they get hooked on a game or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not where I was at their age, where I would, you know, my dad would be like, the random night we didn't have the Indians on the TV, I'd plop down in front of the TV and go, "Dad, what are we doing here? We don't need to watch Matlock again, dude. Like, let's put on some baseball here." So, like, I already feel like a little bit of like, yeah, they love going to sports, and they love playing sports, but they don't love watching sports. We're in the weird spot where my oldest kid, I'm starting to show like The Other Guys or like a Mel Brooks movie, and we can do it. But like the other night, she was in her room being a teenager on her phone, and the twins were out, and they're going to be 11 here soon. And I try to put on The Other Guys, and Mama Bear's pumping the brakes. And I'm like, there's nothing overtly sexual in this.
I don't know if I ever saw The Other Guys.
Oh, we got to get you up on that. Yeah, that's pretty darn good. There's some really funny stuff in that.
Is it like, a movie?
Yeah. It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, I know what you... I never saw it. I know what you're talking about, though.
Hey, so you are a TV guy over a movie guy?
I'm not really... I don't really watch much. I don't have time. I don't watch much. Like a Netflix series. I'm watching Survivor again for the first time in forever.
Like the reality show?
Yeah.
Like all the way back to the beginning?
No. Like this, the current season.
Oh, okay.
I'm patiently waiting for Yellowstone to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't watch a ton.
You should watch The Other Guys. How old are your kids again?
Oldest,
I don't know if you've said that on air.
Oldest is 22, middle guy's 14, daughter's 12.
Yeah, see, you should be able to, they should, at least the oldest one should be able to watch The Other Guys. Well, not the 22-year-old, the 14-year-old.
I was actually texting with my 14-year-old just now during the break. He's in D.C. on the 8th grade trip, and he is out of money with a day and a half still to come.
All right.
It's like, buddy, there's a problem.
So
we sent him with plenty of money.
Who's more likely to break on this, mom or dad?
Well, so he says he doesn't need any more because they have vouchers for the food. Like they give him vouchers to eat. The money was supposed to be for spending money. And then if they wanted to buy anything like extra, wherever they stop or whatever, I'm like, well, I guess you don't have any extras. But apparently he blew through a lot. And he's normally very responsible. But he was a sailor around, on shore leave.
You get around kids your age, especially if there are girls around, you get a little boisterous. You just never know.
He said he's out of money. I can't believe. Because I told him, like, I expect change. It was only a three-day trip.
Yeah.
He had plenty of money.
Wow, wait. So we're halfway through the trip? I thought this was like a seven-day voyage, and then there's two days to go.
No. They left yesterday morning, and they're back late tomorrow night. They're back tomorrow night. It's a three-day trip to D.C.
So did the money even make it to today?
It made it to... Yeah, he showed me some things that he bought, and he's like, no, I'm out of money.
Buddy! So...
You got 28 hours to go.
I am the tightwad in the family, but I'm also the soft touch. So, like, my oldest daughter will always be like, yeah, I don't have money for this, Dad, and I'm kind of bummed. And I'll be like, oh, hell, we got $50, sure.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm also the person that's like, fast food twice this week, huh? we actually paid the electric on time. Okay, all right. Make him sweat a little bit. Yeah, so, and then the problem is, because I am Jekyll and Hyde with it, Ness will look at me and go, You kind of threw a fit about that Olive Garden trip with the family the other day, and now you just get the $50 out of nowhere, huh? And yeah. I was like, I got no defense.
Yeah, I got no defense. I think we're all like that to an extent. I have taken to paying the kids for their grades.
Oh,
which I have no problem. Like I'm fine. It's like their job. They're at school. That's their job. I'll pay them for a job well done. Well, now my son has like straight A's.
Oh, yeah, he called you.
I said, could you hook a brother up like one C, one? Can you bomb one test for me? He's like, nope. So, yeah, I'm writing big checks to these kids now.
So my oldest is obsessed with books. You're noticing a trend here. Is obsessed with books. But I'm trying to get her to the library because she will bankrupt me. Like, I needed some help when my foot was really messed up. And I was like, kid, if you do this for me, it was because every morning I make Ness breakfast and mm-hmm. I couldn't stand up long enough to do it. It was bugging me. So I just begged her. Okay, that's not entirely true. Vanessa?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It came up at like 9 a.m. It was like, oh, no breakfast, huh? And also, I hadn't made coffee because those are the two things that I make sure to do. It's like a way of like putting her first every day.
Yeah.
The one day I didn't do it, it was a real problem. And so she walked downstairs to go back to work and I went to Liv and I was like, what book you want? And so she actually told me it was the first book of three. And I realized I could get them individually, like a three set. And so they have the chronology, whatever, the expansive version for like $60. I can get them individually for like $25. So I was like, if you do this for me, I'll get you the book. And I got her three as a surprise. The problem is, a kid thinks that's now how the world works.
Right.
And I'm like, no. I was like, those three books carry you very so much longer than you absolutely realize. And no, but the problem is, dude, seriously, like I took her to the library. We got our library cards a week ago now that we're in a new spot. And she was like, yeah, I just like owning books. And I'm like, you can read so many more right now if they're free. And she's like, but what if I want to reread it? I'm like, you get it again? And it's just, this kid loves books, but it's just not the same if she can't put them on her bookshelf.
Well, when she's old enough to buy them herself, she can put as many on the bookshelf as she wants.
So she just had her birthday, and she got more money. I mean, people are so nice to my kid financially in a way that I just never got to experience. Like, the amount of money she got for her birthday was obscene. And I remember being like, man, I got $25 for my birthday this year. This is good stuff. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'm more generous with my kid than you were with me, you bastards. But the problem is that she's already going through that because she reads. Like, you think, like, I'll read three books and it'll take 10 days.
Yeah.
She's like a book a day.
Wow.
And
that's really good, though.
It's awesome. So that's why I keep buying her books, because I'm like, anything to keep you
off your phone.
Yeah, well, and just that habit.
Yeah.
Like, I love reading, and the three books thing, it's a habit. I'm trying to build a good habit because I feel so much better about myself and life when I've read three books as opposed to when I've watched a full TV series on my phone for like 1 week.
That's impressive. My wife is a voracious reader. She's the same way. Just books. She loves to read.
She at least go to the library?
Yeah, she does.
I'm going to have your wife talk to my daughter.
Yeah, she does. She goes to the library.
Trying to buy a house here soon.
And she like reads everything in the library. And there's like certain authors that she loves. And yeah, she reads a ton of books.
216-474-0092. Where did I go wrong? Now, when we come back, we are going to get to the Guardians' decision. There's what they say and what you should believe. 92.3 The Fan. There's a magical point in your life where you just decide, I think I've done enough. Can the coasting begin?
I'm very much. I have been for a couple of years.
I mean, we've all been saying it, but I'm glad that you know. I'm kidding. So obviously, you know, we put a bow on the Guardian stuff earlier this week. We heard from Antonetti and Stephen Vogt, who today was, of course, named the Sporting News Manager of the Year. It would not surprise me if he got the official Manager of the Year award as well. But one of the things that was said, and I want to get your opinion on this, was that in Antonetti's presser, they said four names that they had mutual interest, some level of mutual interest in returning. Shane Bieber, Matthew Boyd, Alex Cobb, and Austin Hedges. I think when it comes to Bieber specifically, I think that's one that you go and say we have mutual interest in. I'm not saying Shane is out. I just can't imagine that guy doesn't get a one-year prove-it deal worth a lot of money from a big market team.
Probably get a 1+1.
Yeah.
And the Guardians can give him that, but he could probably get a bigger one from someplace where he really wants to be in California.
Yeah. Well, and that's I kind of view, like Stephen Kwan, I kind of view Kwan like I do Bieber. Like, there are just certain guys who geographically, there's a statute of limitations on how long they're going to play, and I think Bieber is that guy. Whether it's the Angels, Padres, Dodgers, I think especially the Dodgers make a lot of sense for Bieber. I would love if he came back. I think somebody offers you 1 year, $25 million, plus another one on the other side. Like, it's not, the Guardians can't pay that.
No. And he'll get, I mean, he's probably not back till August, I think. If all goes well, a lot of times these April Tommy John guys are returning after the All-Star break for sure. And it seems to be getting later and later. Late July at the earliest, probably August, is when he would be back. So that's why you do a 1+1. You give him a little bit of money for next year, and then you're really locking him in for year two. And there's just going to be too many teams that can outkick Cleveland on that, unfortunately, because I'd like to see him back too, at least on a short-term deal. They've been, you know, I think both sides have been ready to break up for a while. And it just, unfortunate turns led them down this path with the injury, obviously.
I'd actually be shocked if Hedges wasn't back.
He'll be, of all the names you mentioned, I think he's probably the most likely to be back.
I think he's going to be the most affordable, which is the easy part of the.
Yeah.
And I also think he is like a key part of the organizational structure. Like,
yes.
I think he's, especially if you're going to consider a Naylor deal, I think you've got to, you really have to consider, because Naylor is, I think, part of the emotional core of this team. So if you're going to contemplate moving on from Naylor, you got to at least bring Hedges back, which is a crazy thing to say, because I complained the loudest when they brought him back. I think it was in March when they made that decision this year.
Well, no, it was earlier than March. He was one of the first moves they made, was bringing him back, because they realized what he meant to that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's probably back. He's, whether you want to call it the Udonis Haslam role or whatever, I think it is pretty valuable to have him in that clubhouse. I had somebody say the other day, why not just make him a coach? I'm like, no, you need him in the clubhouse, yeah. not in the coach's room. You need him with the players and as a player. He was sitting around. They had a bunch of them. They were sort of holding court there after the game the other night when they were eliminated, and they may have sat there all night for all I know, that they were, and that's just what he does. Like, they just sit there and talk ball. Matthew Boyd, he's got a career ERA of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitched really well while he was here. I don't know how high or how far you really want to go with a guy like that. Cobb's obviously he's had a ton of injuries throughout his career, couldn't stay healthy this year. I don't know how much sense that makes. They definitely need pitching. They definitely have to look at pitching on the market, I think, this winter, which is something they've never really been in that position to do before. I just don't know how far you really want to extend on either of those guys.
Bieber's the number one.
If
you could have him back, I just don't think it's realistic. And, like, I mean, what was it? $20 million, $25 million? If we talk about guys who came back and that you didn't have on the roster because they were not productive, Laureano, Straw being the two that pop right off my dome.
Right.
Like, Bieber was different because it was injuries.
Right.
But you can't have another year where 20 to 25% of payroll is dead cap. You can't do that and win. And so there's a world in which, depending on how much they make, I'd almost rather Boyd and Cobb together making combined what Bieber makes, with the event that one of those guys actually works out this next year, though.
No, I would take Shane 10 times out of 10 over that combo. Because, again, he's not going to be back till August, but you're looking at Shane for October. And I would take Shane in October over either one of those guys.
I think people missed on Cobb. I think he's a really good pitcher.
I really like Alex Cobb.
Yeah.
I've liked him for years. He can't stay healthy. Like, he's had a ton of injuries. The blister thing, it's chased him throughout his career.
But guys like that, like, you only need 1 year. Like, they're the Jadeveon Clowneys of baseball without the pain in the assness.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, the Guardians thrive on finding the guys that we only need 1 year. Yeah. But I would take, to me, Bieber is more of a sure thing than either of those guys.
I think the problem is, I think if you're not going to bring back one of those three or two of those three guys, because you still have, like, does Tristan need surgery?
Tristan's a massive question mark right now.
Like, and people have said put him in the bullpen. I don't know how that helps him stay any healthier. Like, and also, I think you're wasting a guy who does have three legitimate pitches.
He's not a reliever. He's a starter. He's a starter who should have had the surgery a year ago.
Yep.
And I don't know what he does at this point. Like, the clock is ticking on him in terms of free agency.
And I think that then begins the conversation of, the most obvious way to get better is with 1 year left on Josh Naylor, trying to turn Josh Naylor into some semblance of a starter via trade.
I don't think he's going to bring the value that I think some fans think that he is.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, I think you might be lucky to get a third starter for him, and you might have to package a reliever in there like a Sandlin.
Yeah, I think if you're trying to get a number three starter, it's going to take more than Josh.
I mean, I was thinking the kid from everyone's going to roll the, or you don't know the name, because Peter and I have done a Donnybrook off air on this.
Yeah.
Ryan Nelson, the kid from Arizona.
Yeah.
Like 4 ERA kind of range. The stuff is better than that. He does have several years of control, but I agree it might be like Naylor, Sandlin, and Valera, or Naylor, Sandlin, and, you know, C-list prospect to be able to get a guy who in the end might just be who he is.
Right.
And that is maybe a third or fourth starter.
I do think that they're really good at like Matthew Boyd, guy that identifying something is in there, we can get more out of him than what he's shown. They've got a history of that. They've done that. This organization's really good with pitching. So maybe they do take a guy on the margins and try and squeeze more out of him than what other teams have gotten. I just don't know. Naylor's not with 1 year left to control. He's a future DH in the making. I just don't think that you're going to get as much for him as I think people tend to believe that you will.
Do you think, because this is another conversation we've had both on and off the air, do you think they're moving forward or going to move backwards?
I think they're going to move forwards.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It doesn't mean they're going to get back to the LCS next year.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's like 2 years ago, they came out of nowhere. Last year, they kind of took a step back. They still have things they have to figure out. When will Bizana be ready? What is Bizana? Who does he replace? Do you try and I made the argument earlier, maybe you move Jimenez. Well, I was under the assumption you would trade Rocchio and slide Jimmy to short to open up second for Bizana. But Jimenez certainly hasn't lived up to the offensive side of the contract. He has the defensive side. And there's some pretty big numbers coming down the road. Maybe that's the route that they go, is they move off of Jimenez and slide Bizana in. And you still need an outfielder from somewhere. I don't think Noel's a great story. I don't know that he's an everyday player. I'm tired of seeing Will Brennan and Daniel Schneeman out there. Like, let's get a major league outfielder. And then if you move on from Naylor, you got to fill that. So there are decisions that they have to make in the lineup. But I do like the progression. This is still a really young team. And they gotta figure out the pitching. But that bullpen is legit, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
I think Jimenez is a really – I think what you're pointing at there is, because, one, I think Seattle needs either a second baseman, shortstop, third base. Like, they need somebody like that because they've got enough bats. They just need good defense, and they've got pitching to spare. I think the last two offseason, I think the Guardians – I don't want to say play it safe, but I don't think they've done anything that is, okay, you're trying to do something here to jumpstart some part of this roster. I think that's what will dictate whether they go forward or backwards. Meaning, like, they could be a really nice 84-win team that just misses out on the playoffs next year if they play it safe. Whereas if you pull the right string, which I actually do still trust the front office to do, I think you could turn this thing into a team that is capable of a run with the right kind of situation.
The division's going to continue to get better. That's not a fluke. The Royals, I think, will continue to get better. They have an owner who's trying to get a new stadium. He's going to keep spending money. The Tigers are legit. So they're going to be pushed, and the Twins are still the Twins.
I think the Twins are going to take a huge – I think they're about to – I don't want to say eject button, but I think there's some payroll issues there. The Tigers are interesting. If their ownership starts to spend it all,
yeah,
this becomes a really tough division really quickly because they have arms for days. It's that offense that is problematic in the way that the Guardians is.
They will never spend the way that they did when their dad was alive, when Senior Ilitch was in charge. But I think they've got some growth in that payroll. They got room to go.
Yeah. I mean, they could have done it this last year and didn't, but I think after...
I don't think they thought they were ready.
Yep, and I think after the Team of Destiny stuff, it'd be pretty foolish not to do it.
Yeah.
So, Jason, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Sith Lord is back. You're sitting here just chilling.
Yeah, and I don't want to work that hard, so I'm going home.
Yeah, that's
you,
fair.
You can do the last 2 hours yourself.
Well, thank you for being a team player. I mean, that's really, when I think of Jason Lloyd, initially, you actually had agreed to do 5 hours, and then in show, you were like, I think I'm going to jam Nick up.
That is absolutely not true.
That's what the Twitter streets are saying. I can't, I'm not controlling that. I'm not. Jugs 2024 there. I'm not that guy on social media, even though that's my picture.
I told Keith I can give you 3 good hours. That's what I can give you.
Where were those? Jason, really appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
I'll see you, buddy.
The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.